Welcome in. Thanks for joining us for the latest edition of a new season of the Delaware Bible Cast, a podcast ministry here at Delaware Bible Church. I'm Brad Harris, and I'll continue to serve through this season as host of the Delaware Bible Cast. And we are so glad that you're joining us for this new season of our podcast. Maybe you've listened to our previous 38 episodes. Maybe this is the first one that you've ever listened to. But wherever you're listening from, however you're listening to us, we are glad that you're joining us, and we are thankful to be able to share a new season of this podcast with you. Back in October of 2020, we began this podcast ministry, and we're pleased to share with you that in the 38 episodes that we have had the opportunity to share with you, we've had over 2,000 downloads, plus many others who have listened in as well to our podcast, and we're looking forward to continuing to grow and expand this ministry here during our second season of it together. Now, one of the benefits that we have of the platform that we use to record, send out our podcasts, it's called Buzzsprout. And one of the benefits of it is that it gives me data to look at and analyze which episodes of our podcast in the previous season were a hit and which ones that we need to look at and maybe tweak or not do that topic or some information about it again. So we're going to continue to comb through that data and see which episodes are especially popular over this year. We're going to take what we've learned from that, the feedback and the information, and I can promise you we will use that to enhance our podcast ministry and make it both as engaging and as applicable as we can. Now, we want to make sure that we bring you content that we believe is going to be helpful in your walk for the Lord, but as well that you find interesting and engaging. And so in viewing what we've previously done for our podcast and how we can best equip you this season with them, I want to share some of the things that are going to be coming up this season. This season, we will continue to have our elder interviews, which gives us an opportunity for you to meet your leadership here at DBC, learn more about them, and see their ministries that they're involved in and how they're serving here at the church and how they can serve you. We're going to have continued conversations on hot topics within the Christian faith, such as how believers can respond and honor the Lord in ways that follow Scripture when hot-button issues that we've talked about in previous podcasts, as well as new ones as well. We're going to share new episodes focusing on upcoming events, goals, and information about what's going on here at Delaware Bible Church. Many of the new things that you'll be seeing and hearing about from the pulpit we'll be sharing in podcasts. And as well, we're going to have continued opportunities to look at our past sermons, interviews, and other content to see how the Lord is working through our church body. Now, we're going to sprinkle other things as well throughout these podcasts. And my encouragement to you is if you have any new ideas or would request follow-up on anything that we share here after listening into a podcast, you are always encouraged and invited to contact me. My email is bharris, B-H-A-R-R-I-S, at our church website at delawarebible.org. That's bharris at delawarebible.org. And please know that if you ever have a podcast idea, a question, something that you would like answered on a future podcast, let me know that, and I will be glad to see how we can fit that into our podcast plans for this season. Now, sprinkled throughout our season, which is beginning here in September and will go through until the summer, we are going to continue to release podcasts at 4 p.m. each week, and we are beginning today with a series titled What We Believe. This will be the majority of the front end of our podcasts, and we'll also sprinkle those other podcast episodes about as well. Throughout this series, we're going to be working through our church's doctrinal statement, and we're going to be working through what we believe as a church. Now, we're also going to take some time focusing on other doctrines that some Christians outside of our camp may believe, hot-button issues and topics that surround these doctrines. But today, as we begin, we're going to start by discussing the importance of studying theology, the importance of studying what we believe, and why it's important for a believer to know what they believe about their faith, and as well, particularly within our context, about what they believe about the Bible. So I'm incredibly thankful to be a part of a church body who makes doctrine and makes biblical teaching a key focus of what we do. It's a major part of our membership covenant in sharing what we believe and why we believe it. It's a major part of what we do at Delaware Bible Church. And a good chunk of each of our elder meetings is focused on sharing specifically about what our doctrine is and how it addresses specific topics, issues, or things that our church is dealing with. It's a major part of what our elders focus on at our church. Doctrinal purity and keeping the main thing are very important to us. But unfortunately, we know and we see throughout the culture around us and through society that many who call themselves Christians don't hold to these same doctrines and don't hold to the same faith that we do. A Pew Research study in 2017 found that only 46% of Protestant Christians in America, that's the group that we would find ourselves in, but would be classified as a very broad group, believe that faith in God alone is needed to get to heaven. This we would know as sola fide, a term taken from the Reformation, that we believe that in order to get to heaven, we can only do so by God through Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. 52% believe both good deeds and faith are needed to get to heaven. So we've got 46% believe that God alone is needed to get to heaven, but 52%, a majority, saying that both good deeds and faith in God are needed to get to heaven. 46% of those surveyed believe that the Bible provides all religious guidance that Christians need. We believe this is called sola scriptura. While 52% believe that in addition to the Bible, Christians need guidance from church teachings, traditions, etc. And I found that very interesting because this would also be the stance that not Protestant Christians, but Catholics who call themselves Christians would fall into. So we have a large number of Protestant Christians who are also falling into what Catholics would believe within that situation. When asked if one believes both faith in God alone is needed to get to heaven and that the Bible provides all religious guidance that Christians need, so both sola fide and sola scriptura, only 30% said that they believe both, while 36% said that they believe neither, and the remaining were split within their responses, one or the other. So that means that only 3 in 10, that only 30% of U.S. Protestant Christians believe in both sola fide and sola scriptura. Now, I understand that with a survey such as this, you may be saying, Brad, you know, these surveys, they don't always share the entire story and everything else. And while I would affirm that and I would agree with you on that, we can see through this, as we can see throughout the culture and society around us, that it's clear that Christians are using their footing as an influence and as a cultural game changer within the society around us. So we see that in calling ourselves Christians, one of the most important things is an understanding and knowing what we believe and why we believe it. And that's going to help us not only be able to share the hope that is within us, within the culture around us, but more importantly, most importantly, it's going to help us glorify God and give to Him our best in everything that we do. So as we start this new podcast season, I want to begin our time just sharing why it's important to study theology and why it's important for us to understand and know what we believe. So the first question I'm going to ask during our first podcast here together is this: why is studying theology important? If I were to ask you right now for a definition of what systematic theology is, what would you say? Now, I understand that those words right there, systematic theology, can be words that are both intimidating and ones that seem a little bit unapproachable for a common Christian to look at. So let's begin our time just by defining some terms and making sure we're on the same page with what we're saying here. Well, Merriam-Webster would define system as a group of interacting or an interdependent group of items forming a unified whole. Now, theology comes from the Greek word theos, meaning God, and logos, meaning word or discourse. Therefore, we can say that theology is defined as a discourse, as a connected speech or writing about God. So systematic theology is an approach to studying the doctrines of the Christian faith, and it's done so in such a system that works together and that clearly shows from one point to another how things connect. That word doctrine, again, would be defined by Merriam-Webster as a principle or position of the body of principles in a branch or knowledge of system of belief. So as we look at this, these definitions, as we look at these words, a couple things with them. Number one, as we look at systematic theology, we understand and know that it is not divine, right? That the doctrines in the system that we're studying are not inspired by God, but the doctrines themselves are. And as we look at them, what we're studying is a system of an approach of looking at the Bible, of looking at what we believe as a whole, and how it all fits together. It's an orderly arrangement of the study of God into logical and topical divisions. Scott R. Swain, a doctor, says this: doctrine is teaching from God about God that directs us to the glory of God. I think that's very important, that as we study systematic theology, we're not doing so simply to gain knowledge, but to direct us to the glory of God and how we as believers can respond to God and His glory and who He is. Now, when it comes to systematic theology, we can study each doctrine separately from one another, but we need to remember that all these doctrines connect to one another, that they complement one another, that we can't take them and simply isolate them from one another. But studying systematic theology is a way of seeing how they all work together. Now, a couple of things during our time together, because I know many who are listening are members of Delaware Bible Church. Others of you are from other places who go to strong biblical teaching churches. And you may know many of the things that we're going to be looking at and studying. You may think to yourself, why are we focusing on this? Why do I really need to study? Why can't I just tune this out? And a couple things with that. I would say, first of all, with that, there is always good repetition in knowing and understanding these things. Repetition's a good thing. In fact, when we look and study the Bible, we see God using repetition as a way of continually reminding us of things. And hopefully through our time, I'm going to be able to draw things out. Other people who may join us for this series are going to be able to bring things out in a way that you haven't heard or thought of or maybe have forgotten. And that's a good thing. And God uses that teaching on a regular basis. So often we can attend church on a Sunday morning, on a Wednesday night, on a Sunday evening, and we can hear truth that we've already heard before, that we already know, but we're hearing it in a different way, or a way that hits us at a particular time in our life that's applicable to what we're going through then. And God works through that, and that's a wonderful thing from God. But as well, I think it's so easy for us to not only fall into forgetfulness or need reminded of things, but really to just fall into apathy, where as we study these truths, as we learn these things, we don't fully grasp the weight of them. It's easy for us to just listen to them and move on to the next thing when God has so much more for us. And as we study these things, I hope that through our teaching of it, that we're going to be able to look at these things in such a way that we're not just looking for information. We're not going to dive down so deep that we come up dry, but instead we're going to be looking for practical application from the Word of God and practical instruction how these things matter to our lives. So we're going to be studying how we can personally apply these things. So as we seek to address this question of why is studying theology important, I think the first answer to that is simply this, that theology explains the Bible. Paul Enns, the author of the Moody Handbook of Theology, says that as a result of systematic theology, Christians are able to have a clear understanding about the fundamental beliefs of the Christian faith. The Bible was not written in a doctrinal outline, hence it is important to systematize the parts of the Bible to understand the doctrinal emphasis of the entire Bible. Or as we look at this, it helps us give a clear understanding of the entire picture of the Bible. Now, I love to study the book of Hebrews. And I can look through the book of Hebrews, and I can see the Old Testament references. I can see New Testament truths that are being shared. But as well, it's good for me to look back at how it fits in the entire Bible. And that's just one book where systematic theology will take verses from Hebrews, from the Old Testament, from the New, from all these places, and it will dovetail them together to show us the complete picture. And that's a good thing, because it helps explain to us the Bible. And through that, it helps strengthen our faith. Because as we gain more information about the character and nature of God, as we know who He is, we know what He has done for us through Jesus Christ, our faith is strengthened. Saving faith, Jared Wilson, an author, shares with us, is a gift from God, but it is not some amorphous information, free spiritual vacuum. The exercise of faith is predicated on information initially, the historical announcement of the good news of what Jesus has done, and the strengthening of faith is built on information as well. So this information that we can seek to apply to our lives is important. We aren't seeking simply to just gain information, but we're seeking to see how we can take that information and how we can apply it to our faith in our daily lives. Systematic theology is that of a tool. Now, it's hard to illustrate a tool in a podcast form because I can't show you a tool. But let's imagine that I give you a tool, and that is one of those snakes that you use to clean out a drain. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about by that, I would encourage you to pause the podcast for a second and go look up drain snake. If you know what I'm talking about, continue on, and let's say that I give you a drain snake, that you have never seen this tool before, and I tell you to go and complete the task that needs to be done with that tool. I don't give you any further instructions. I don't share anything else with you except that I want you to use that to do the proper thing that that tool is supposed to do. Now, if you are going to use the appropriate task that that snake drain is used for, and you've never seen one, you don't know anything about it, and you can't answer any more questions, or I can't give you any more answers to your questions on that, you're going to be left confused and not knowing what to do. Now, similarly, if you attend church for the first time with little to no Bible knowledge, and I plop a Bible into your lap and say, "This right here is the solution to all of life's problems. Go ahead and use it to fix your problems," you aren't going to know what to do. Now, that snake drain, what you do with it is you take it and you put it down your drain, and it pulls up hair and all the nasty stuff that fills up your drain and clogs it up. Now, similarly, as we study systematic theology, we can look at it and we can see the system of how we can be able to fix all of the spiritual problems and issues that come up in life. Now, in order to do that, we have to be able to know and understand the Bible, about what it's about, and how it helps us. So, as well, another example of that is, let's imagine that you come and sit in my office where I'm currently recording this podcast, and you're having an incredibly difficult time after the loss of a close friend. Your best friend just passed away, and you're looking for counsel on how to do this, how to get through life, even though your closest friend has passed. And my advice to you is to remember who God is and what He is doing in your trial. Now, that's good advice. That's advice that I could give to a seasoned believer. Now, I would hope that the advice that I give would have a little bit more meat on the bone than that. But it's advice that I could give you that would be true, that would be biblical, and that would be helpful. But if you don't know what that means, and you don't know how to apply it to your life, you're going to be sitting there wondering what you can do with that. And systematic theology helps teach us the doctrines that share with us the truth of these things. As we study who God is, as we study Christology, for example, who Jesus Christ is, how he was fully God and fully man, how he was the perfect sinless Savior, how he died for us, and how his death fully covered our sins. As we study his substitutionary atonement, a word that we'll learn for us, we will see that who God is, what he's done for us, and what he's doing in our trials is an incredible thing. It's something that can help us to be able to really, truly live the best spiritual life that we can live both now and forever. So we can study and we can know who God is and what he's doing through these things as we study systematic theology and how it helps us interpret the themes, the key parts, and the truths of the Bible. So as we study systematic theology, let me just share a couple of applications that I hope that you'll remember. And again, if you have questions about these things, if you need further follow-up, if you just want my notes from this podcast, you can always email me at bharris@delawarebible.org. That's bharris@delawarebible.org. As we seek to apply the truth of systematic theology, I would say that it's important for several reasons. The first reason that systematic theology is important because God is glorified when we seek to know him. We want to know God. And the objective of studying theology is to come to know God better for who he is, for who he says he is, and to increasingly learn how to please him and glorify him with our lives. Philippians 1:9 through 11 says, "It is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge, with all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ." Verse 11, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Systematic theology shows us how we might glorify God in our everyday lives, how we might know him for who he is and for what the Bible tells us about him. As well, studying systematic theology is important, number two, because understanding good biblical theology helps us corporately or unifyingly reflect Christ to others. As we study theology, we know that, or we can see how we can be an accurate reflection of God to the world. And as we unifyingly do that as a church, both the local church, primarily Delaware Bible Church, where most of our listeners are coming from, but as well the universal church as believers, that gives us influence in the culture. That allows us to not be like what we've recently talked about from that Pew Research study, but instead allows us to be able to be salt and light in the world as God tells us to be. 1 Peter 3:15 shares with us, in a time where the concept of truth is called to question, that the church should be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks for a reason for the hope that it is within you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. So what is the church supposed to do? It is supposed to be able to share the truth of God's word and to do so gently, respectfully, but in a way that the world solidly knows what these people believe and why they believe it. Application number three to remember and why studying theology is important is that theology is important because it helps mature us spiritually. As we study these doctrines, as we understand them and what the Bible says, we understand God and his creation the way that he intended us to. Now imagine that you and I plant a plant and we give it a few years to grow and we take one plant and we just leave it there. We take the other plant there and we water it. We provide plenty of sunlight, the nutrients that the plant needs, and we allow it to grow. After a few months, we're going to see a difference in those plants. One is going to look withered if it's not dead. The other one is going to continue to grow. And over time, that withered plant will not really be much of anything, maybe a weed at best, and that other plant is going to grow and flourish, and much good and much fruit is going to come out of it. as we study God's Word, if we trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and personal Savior, there begins this process of growth. But yet, it doesn't simply end when we trust in Christ. It's supposed to continue to grow and to grow and to grow. And it's built up till one day it can be like a firm tree. It can be like a plant that's shared in Psalm 1, where it has strong and deep roots, and where all the winds and all the different problems of life come, it stands firm and strong. It helps us, systematic theology does, to grow in the way that God intended us to, where we have a strong relationship with Him. Number four, though, systematic theology is important because doctrine matters. Studying doctrine, studying truth from God's Word is important. John 8:34 shares with us where Jesus says, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. How do we know that we are true followers of Jesus Christ? We hold to the teaching of God's Word. And too often, it's very easy for believers to determine our theology like a lunch buffet or like a fantasy football team, where we're able to pick and choose what or who we like and what or who we don't. Going back to the Pew Research study that we began with, as we studied that research study, it showed that some of the believers, or those who called themselves believers, or called themselves at least Protestant Christians, were simply picking and choosing what they liked. They picked and chose what they thought was true about the Bible, and that's why some of them just said, well, the Bible is true, but trusting in God through Jesus Christ is not the only way to heaven. Others were saying that they trusted in God, but not so much the Bible. And you can see where, if you're a true follower of Jesus Christ, if you hold both the sola fide and sola scriptura, those are not going to work together. And it's too easy for us to just pick what we want, like the lunch buffet, when that is not how God has designed it. God has given us the entirety of His Word. And as He has given us the entirety of this Word, He means much good to come out of it. So studying theology is important because as we study and know God's Word, as we look at it, we can know and understand truth, and it helps us hold to the fact that the Bible grants no Christian the right to pick and choose the biblical doctrines that they want to believe. That God and who He is, that He is holy, that He is ruler, that He is in control, that He is above and beyond all things, that God has given us all of these doctrines, from bibliology, the study of the Bible, to harmartiology, the doctrine of sin, to eschatology, the doctrine of end times, and everything in between, so that we can know Him, and so that we can understand His sovereign plan that is revealed for us to know. So all of the doctrines that we're going to be looking at together, from bibliology, the study of the Bible, theology proper, the doctrine of God, Christology, the doctrine of the Bible, pneumatology, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, angelology, the doctrine of angels, Satan, and demons, soteriology, the doctrine of salvation, ecclesiology, the doctrine of the church, eschatology, the doctrine of last things, and other things are incredibly important for us to look at and know as believers. So I hope that through this plea, through this time of sharing about why theology is important, you're seeing and understanding and knowing why it's important for us to truly look at these doctrines that we hold to, why it's important to believe them, to affirm them, to know them, and that God has much good purpose for us in these things. But as we conclude our time today, next week we're going to be looking specifically at bibliology, at the doctrine of the Bible, and what we need to know about the Bible and why it's important. But I want to ask you as we conclude our time what you need for good theology. And I want to do so with the illustration of a cake. Now those who know me well know that I'm not much of a sweets guy. It's just never really been my thing. In fact, a funny story, there was early on at my time in Delaware Bible Church, I was invited over to a family's house, and they offered me, they were cooking a great meal. It was a fantastic meal, and at the end, they offered dessert. And me, not being much of a dessert guy, was offered I remember it was like sweets. There was peaches. There were like some mousse on top, and it looked like a really sweet treat. And one that, no offense to the couple that had me over, I was full and I wasn't really interested in, and sweets aren't really my thing. And so I declined it. And the person, not really knowing me or my background or things, didn't really know that I wasn't into sweets. And it was almost in a sense like I unintentionally offended the person. And they asked me if I would like it done in a different way, without the mousse on top, without this, without that. And I just politely declined, as it wasn't my thing. But if you were going to get me to eat some sweets, now that person clearly got over that. We're still good friends to this day. But if you were going to offer me something that would be a sweet treat that I would like, I would say probably the one that you could get me on would be a good chocolate cake on a good day. Now let's take a rich, luxurious chocolate cake, and even better yet, let's put some vanilla icing on top of that and some peanut butter crumbles. Chocolate peanut butter, that would be my choice for a top-end cake, or top-end ice cream for that matter. Now let's say that you were baking a cake that we would both enjoy together, and you use all the ingredients that you would need, from eggs to milk to chocolate to peanut butter to all the different things that you're going to need to make that a great chocolate cake or chocolate peanut butter cake. Now you take that and you build this beautiful cake, and I take a bite of that cake, and it is absolutely fantastic. I ask you what's in that cake, and you share all of the things that's in it. But then you share that there was one secret ingredient. That ingredient was not one that I knew before I bit into the cake, and that was that of rat poison. Now, you may jump back in your seat and say, ooh, right as I say that about rat poison. But after I am told that you put a little bit of rat poison in the cake, I am no longer going to want to eat any more of that cake. In fact, I'm going to tell you to throw it away. And I'm going to guess that you're not going to eat any of that as well. Now, here's the problem with that cake. That cake has been permeated by something that will ruin it. And in doing so, you're taking something that is very good, very delicious, and you're putting something in it that, best case scenario, might make me sick. And it could be a little bit of sick, it could be a lot of sick, depending on what's in it, how much is in it, and those things. But worst case scenario could, in a spiritual sense, kill me. And that's what happens when bad theology can get mixed with good theology. It can lead to terrible results. It can, at best, make you just a little bit or very spiritually sick, and at worst case, it can lead you on a one-way ticket to hell. It can make you spiritually dead. As the Bible says, we're dead in our trespasses and sins, and only by good theology, only by the teaching of the truth of God's word, that is, and only through Jesus Christ, can we then be able to truly be able to know, understand, love God the way that He intends us to. So what do you need for good theology? Number one, and most importantly, you need Scripture. You need the Bible. The Bible says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth, in John 17:17. Yet not only do we need Scripture, we need a proper interpretation of Scripture. And that's where systematic theology helps us. We need a good biblical hermeneutic, a study of understanding and applying the truth of God's word. And the interpretation of the Bible should allow the Bible to stand on itself. God's word tells us that it is sufficient, that we don't need to add anything else to it. So we need to be able to have a theology that shares with us a proper interpretation of Scripture, and that it allows the Bible to stand on its own. Along with that, though, we need a recognition of human limitations. Because with that, we can have Scripture, we can have a proper interpretation of Scripture, but as well, we have to understand that we are not, through our study, going to be able to understand everything. There are certain things that you and I just can't understand. We are not going to be able to understand God for who He is completely, because we just don't have the capacity within ourselves to be able to do so. There's a quote, there's a phrase that we use here at Delaware Bible Church that I've learned to love very much, as I know many of you have as well. And that is, God is God and I'm not, as Pastor Scott has previously shared in sermons. And there are certain things that we just can't understand. I will never be able to fully understand and know God, but I can understand and know his attributes. I can understand pieces of the whole. So, for example, I can understand that God is love, but I can never fully understand the depth that he loves me. I can understand that God is all-knowing, but never understand all the things that he knows. I can never understand how God can be in all places at all times, but I know that he is. I can't reason and bring all of these things together, but I know who God is, and I know that these things are true. So as we look at that, we can see that Scripture plus proper interpretation plus reason brings good theology together. So we need Scripture, we need proper interpretation, and we need good biblical reasoning for good theology. So as we look at that, we see that good theology then leads to healthy Christians. It leads to the Psalm 1 believer that is planted by the streams of living waters, that as the winds and the waves and everything else comes, they're planted, they're strong, and they're firm. That it leads to healthy churches. And as we see healthy Christians and healthy churches, we see lights being able to be shared throughout all the world. It leads to the Great Commission being fulfilled as they share the gospel, as they walk in obedience to God's word, and as new believers are born and they're discipled, and this process continues on, and then it as well leads to a healthier society. One where the truth of God's word, one where the principles of Scripture are upheld, and where good things happen. Because as God gives us the truth that is found in his word, as God shares these things with us, he does so not to enslave us, not in such a way that we are going to take these things and simply proselytize others so that they buy in and give money to the church, but that so that they can live a true, abundant life, one that is abundantly God-glorifying both now and forever. Not one that doesn't have trials, doesn't have issues that they go through, but one that God is honored and glorified in, and that those who do so are able to walk in truth, knowing that the life that they are living is the best life that they can live both now and forever, because it is one that they were created to live and that is pleasing to their Savior. So I hope that as we go through this series that you'll stick with us, that you'll enjoy this series, that if there's any feedback that you have, any things that we need to add to, good resources that you have, things that you would recommend, or even if you say, hey, I'm really well versed in this, and I want to be on a podcast for it, that you will let me know. Again, bharris@delawarebible.org. Call the church office. Contact us. Let me know of anything that you would like to be able to share and contribute towards this. Any questions that you might have as we look at a certain doctrine. And I promise you that we will get to those through our study as well. Again, we're so looking forward to this new season, to being able to share so much with you. I'm already excited about what God's going to do through it and how he's going to continue to enhance and grow this ministry. We look forward to sharing with you again next Friday or whenever you may be listening in. We're thankful for this opportunity, and we thank you as always for listening in. Hope you have a great week, and we look forward to sharing with you again next week.